بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا ما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وأدخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. أهلا وسهلا, welcome everybody to part 4 of our halaqa series, احفظ الله, be mindful of Allah. This is the explanation of the Prophet ﷺ's advice to Ibn Abbas, احفظ الله يحفظك. And we're explaining the book, what's the book called everybody? نور الاقتباس, ما شاء الله. نعم. نور الاقتباس في مشكاتي وصية النبي لابن عباس. طيب جميل. So today inshallah we were hoping to talk about asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and starting to talk about al-qadr. Before we get started, I got some candy. We got some review inshallah, just to make sure that we kind of recall what we talked about last week. So if you remember, we talked about that the Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Abbas, احفظ الله يحفظك. Be mindful of Allah, يعني be mindful of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will protect you. And we talked about some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect in return when you are mindful. What are some of the things we mentioned? Yal, I got some strawberry ones today, so maybe this will motivate. Na'am, fadal ya Hassan. Ahsan, protecting you from taking the wrong path. Fadal. Can I throw it? Can catch it? Yal, bismillah. What else? تفضل حازم. If you're mindful of Allah. نعم, he'll protect your wealth, your health. أحسنت. تفضل يا حازم. Oh, nice catch. Oh, almost. طيب, what else? We talked about so many things. تفضل. لك السلام. طيب, give it a shot. You really want the candy. يلا, بسم الله. I'll give it to you because of the shot. Yalla, bismillah. What will Allah subhanahu protect? So many things. Okay, that's the question. Yeah, so like the hadith says, احفظ الله يحفظك. Yeah, be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. But it's general. So we mentioned many things. From those things,
if you are indeed mindful of Allah in your everyday life, mm-hmm.
But what about the most important thing that you possess? What is the most important thing that you possess? The most important thing that you possess, what is it?
Like me personally?
Yeah, every Muslim. What's the first thing the angel will ask you in the grave? Your deen. So the most important thing that Allah subhanahu will protect is what? Your deen, right? Yeah, تفضل. What's your name? Basim, ahlan. Tayyib, what else? The fathers. Your children. Ahsant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect your children. What was the proof for that we mentioned last week? What was the proof for that? We talked about the story of Al-Khadr, right? Musa and Al-Khadr, right? And they went to the town, those really greedy people that wouldn't even offer them any food, right? And even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the father of the two orphan kids, right? Even though Allah, their father put a treasure for them, like money for them to take care of them in the future, and it, subhanAllah, the wall was falling apart, and it's in a town where people are really like greedy. يعني. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still protected them because why? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a righteous man, and so on. طيب, جميل جدا. طيب, we talked about how احفظ الله تجده أمامك. Yeah. Another thing is when you are mindful of Allah, you'll find Him there with you. So we talked about المعية of Allah. What does that mean? Like, how is Allah with us? We said there's two kinds. First of all, what's the two kinds of معية? جميل. صح. That's one of the ways. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. He's supporting you with يعني what you see, what you do. Right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you to see what's right and guides you to stay away from what's wrong, and guides you to do what is right, and so on. So that's one of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. We mentioned there's two kinds of ma'iyyah. What are they? A general and a specific. Tafadhal. Now, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the general ma'iyyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us, يعني, through His knowledge. يعني, He knows what's happening everywhere. صح? And then the other one is the more specific. He's with إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ تَقَوْا and other ayat like that. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the believers. صح? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the believers. يعني specifically, يعني He's there to support them and to aid them. Yeah, it's not, the other one is general. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what's happening with His knowledge, etc. Okay, Jameel. Next question. We talked about getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there was an advice that the Prophet ﷺ gave Ibn Abbas about getting to know. When should you get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? تفضل يا حسن.
Always,
Jameel. So in the tough times and in the good times, right? So his تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء, right? يعرفك في الشدة, right? The default is that people get always go to Allah in times of difficulty, right? So the Prophet ﷺ is telling Ibn Abbas, don't be like that, right? There's another level you should aim for is that you should be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned the story of Yunus, right? We said that Yunus alayhi salam, when he was in the belly of the whale, right, in the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the of the skies, right, of the night, فنادى في الظلمات ألا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. And the angel said, "Oh Allah, this is a familiar voice from an unfamiliar place." And so, and they said to Allah, "This is a person who used to always call to you in the good times, right?" And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the whale to spit him out. And then Allah said in the surah, فَلَوْلَا أَنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ لَا يُومِ يُبْعَثُونَ. That if he was not from the one who used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the good times, he would have stayed in the belly of the whale until the day of judgment, subhanAllah. طيب, how do you get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I don't know if we went over this. We might have went over this. We talked about getting to, what does that mean when we say get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, ta'arraf ila Allah fi al-rakha. What does that mean, يعني get to know Allah? What does that mean? تفضل يا حازم. نعم, so to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through many things, right? Through asking Him, right? That's getting to know Allah. And also even more specifically to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? To be familiar with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? Your trust in Him increases. When you get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases, right? And then your husnul dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. Your good thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. And that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jimmy, let's get down to business, inshallah. Today we want to talk about asking Allah, seeking His help, and we're going to talk about the Qadr. طيب, as always, we start with our hadith. I'm going to read the Arabic. عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال لي يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وأن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف وجفت الصحف. So that's the first narration. The second narration, it says, احفظ الله تجده أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرا. طيب, جميل. So now we're in the part where it says فإذا سألت فاسأل الله. فإذا سألت فاسأل الله. So now the Prophet ﷺ is telling Ibn Abbas, if you need to ask, who should you ask first? You should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wanted to start with this ayah in Surah An-Nisa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Right? لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. This is the shahid. This is the main part. وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. يعني ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His bounties, right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ إن الله كان بكل شيء عليما. طبعا some of the مفسرين they say that this ayah came down when Salama she told the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know, how come the men can go for fighting, right, and we can't? The default was that the men would go fight in the battles, right? So, and of course, this is like the highest status in that time when there was battles. That's the highest status, to go and be a martyr, right? And so she's like, yani, it's almost like she's saying, you know, they have an advantage over us, right? And so this ayah came down. وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, right? Do not crave what Allah has given some of you over others. And I wanted to mention this because we live in a time now where there's, you know, there's a movement where they're trying to say that, you know, women and men should be equal, 100% equal in everything, right? And then they go against some of the things that are in our deen. So they say, oh, you know what? The woman should not get half. Because in our deen, there's some things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed from His wisdom, right? That the woman will get half. What are some of the things? What are some of the things? طبعاً, their inheritance, yeah? نعم? I'm talking about specifically like double. Think about aqiqa. What about the aqiqa? When the child is born. One sheep. Two sheep for the boy. Someone might say, well, what's this? Like, it's not fair, right? What else? What else? Think of, so we talked about inheritance, right? What's the ayah of the inheritance? لِلذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ, right? The dhakar gets twice of the untha, right? The male gets twice of the female. We're not, يعني, I'm not going to just stop and justify, but I just want to give you some examples. What are some of the other examples? There's about five of them. The witness, صح, in Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu says, فَإِلَّمْ يَكُونَ رَجُلَيْنِ فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ, yeah? So, if there's no two men to witness, then one man and two women. طيب, what else? I think there's another one or two. Can we squeeze them out? طيب, if they come up, inshallah, we'll go back to them. So, it's very interesting here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, يعني, this is from the weakness of iman for someone to say, you know, it's not fair, right? It's not fair that they get this. Then Allah says, yeah, لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبُوا مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبُهُمْ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ, right? And so it's not about like what people perceive as equal. It all goes back to what? Al-hasanat and deeds, right? And sometimes it looks like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it looks like from our point of view that something is not fair, right? And someone might say, well, it's not fair that, you know, like some woman might say, well, it's not fair that women have to hold the kid for 9 months. صح? But from another angle, yeah, you could say, well, it's not fair that they get to have the ability to give life. صح? But at the end of the day, when you look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, from His wisdom, has given everybody equal proportion of khair, right? It just depends how some people measure it. Some people measure it by wealth. Some people measure it by, what else? يعني comfort. Some people measure it by power. Different things. But when it goes back to is taqwa and hasanat. It goes back to taqwa and hasanat, right? And so for a woman, right, Salama is asking about going to battle. Type for a woman, the Prophet ﷺ said that when she goes to Umrah and Hajj, it's the same, it's like going to jihad for her. Type, which one is easier? Huh? Going to Umrah or going to battle and, you know, risking your life, subhanAllah. And so on. Type, so wasalu Allah min fadlih. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much. So this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask from His bounties. And if you go to the hadith, there's so many hadith about asking Allah. The Prophet ﷺ says, ask Allah for His bounty, for Allah loves to be asked. Allah loves to be asked. The opposite of the son of Adam. Allah is angry at whoever does not ask Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry when a person does not ask Him. Another hadith, Allah loves those who are earnest and persistent in supplication. Those who are always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, if you compared يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلْ الْأَعْلَى to the human being, it's exactly the opposite. Right? The person, many times we go to people first, and they're the ones who are the first to, you know, hate it when you ask them. And if you ask them more than once, right, they get upset, and so on. Each of you must ask his Lord for all his needs, even the strap of his sandal if it breaks. Yeah, and look, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, even like you're walking and your sandal breaks, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the point of all this? The Prophet ﷺ is trying to teach Ibn Abbas that connect your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever you're in need of anything, what's the first thing that should come to you? And this takes training, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that comes to your mind, you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that if you're afflicted with a difficulty or you have a need, then the first thing you should think of is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So for example, your child gets sick. Your child gets sick. La samah Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our children. What should you think of first? Huh? So one person might be like, okay, which hospital? Which medicine? Huh? But what should a true believer think of first? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's the Shafi? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And so you might have a headache and you're like, where's the Tylenol? Tayyib. Does the Tylenol work without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. So, and by the way, it's extremely dangerous to believe that yani, it's the Tylenol that makes that pain go away. Part of our creed, our aqidah, is to believe that it's not the Tylenol that takes the pain away. It's what? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Tylenol is just a sabab, right? It's just a means. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we want to teach ourselves to have that. Mathalan, you lose your job, right? Many people, the first thing they'll do is like, okay, I know what to do. Set up my resume. I know so many people in the industry. I'll go call them. And then if nothing works, they'll be like, okay, let me just go make dua. What should we do? Should we do the opposite, right? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, right? Because the rizq is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rizq is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, subhanAllah, even logically, like, I mean, if you knew two people, right? One who possessed everything and one who had nothing, who would you ask? The one who had nothing? Huh? Ahazim. No, I'm saying if you have a choice, you have two people. One of them has everything, wealth, houses, cars, and one has nothing. Who are you going to ask? It's a very easy decision. Huh? Yeah, the one who has everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything, subhanAllah. So why would you ask someone else? Why would you ask someone else? So when you need something, right? طبعاً, these are just some guidelines, يعني. When you need something, generally, and this is يعني, kind of in a general sense, when you need something needs to get done, just do it yourself, right? Don't depend on others. Do it yourself, right? But keep in mind that لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. What does that mean, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله? What does it mean, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله? When you say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. We say this all the time. يعني, there, nothing can take place. Yeah, nothing can change from one state to the other. Yeah, I can't get up right now, without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is tawfiq. That's what it means, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, right? يعني, I have no power. So, yes, you have something easy. I want to, مثلاً, throw the candy, right? I'm not going to sit down here and make dua. I'll do it myself. But at the same time, I know that I don't have any power except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the first thing, right? If you cannot, of course, ask Allah first. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a story of this. It's mentioned in the book of Ishaq. His name is Ishaq ibn Abbad. And this person, he was in need of something, right? And so... No, Ishaq ibn Abbad, this person, was a wealthy man, right? There was two stories, I'm confusing it. He was a wealthy man, and he went to sleep, and then in his dream, a voice was telling him, go help the needy man, and go help this needy man. And so he got up, he took some of his wealth, and he went, he asked people, like, who needs help? Nobody needed help. Faiz, okay, khalas, go back to sleep, okay? And then, like, the dream came back, the voice, go help the... He got up again, and it was like, I think it was like late in the night. You know, he took some wealth, right? And then he went to the masjid. And then he found this man making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he said, like, what's your need? Like, what are you doing at this time in the masjid? So the man tells Ishaq, he said, I used to have 200,000 or 200 dirhams, sorry, 200 dirhams, and I lost them. And my family's in need, and I'm in need, I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says to him, Ishaq says to him, here's 300 dirhams, right? Or 300 dinars, right? And if you need any more help, then this is my name, and this is where I live. So the man, the needy man who was asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, if I need something, if I'm in need of something, then I'll just ask the one who brought you to me. What's the point of the story? That the man's heart is attached to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he understood that this man, Allah brought him to him. Right? So he didn't need to ask someone. Because understand, someone might say, well, he could just go ask a person. No, but that's not the right way of the believer. Yeah, and the believer doesn't go to something that degrades him. Right? He should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So in the book, Ibn Rajab, he says that asking, why should you ask Allah? He says asking Allah and not his creation, it logically makes sense. Why? He says because asking, right, when you ask someone, is that something honorable? Like when you go to someone and say, help me, I need a job. Is that something that you're excited to do? I'm asking you guys. Is that something you look forward to? No. Yeah, today I'm going to ask, yeah. Actually, it's something that it's not promoted in our deen. Yeah, that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And so it's something degrading, right? And so because it's something that is degrading, right, for the person, it should only be done to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It should only be done to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because asking, right, is in a sense, it's a type of ibadah, if you think about it. Asking, there's nothing wrong with asking a person something that they're able to do, right? But a higher level is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so a person should not humble himself, through asking other than Allah, right? And this is a sign of true love. A sign of true love to someone, in general, like even any person, is that you ask them, not others. Let's say husband and wife, right? If a husband can get something from his wife, right, and he really loves her, would he ask it from somebody else? No, he'd ask from his wife. It's a sign of love. One of the signs of love is that you ask the person that you love, right? And so if you really claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything, then why would you ask someone else, right? This is what he's trying to say. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, is the possessor of everything. One of the things about dua is that dua is ibadah. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, is that dua huwa al-ibadah. Dua huwa al-ibadah. And people sometimes don't understand the significance of dua when it comes to al-ibadah. Ibadah is worship, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْإِنسَ وَالْجِنَّ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ The main reason why Allah created us is to worship Him. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need our worship? Sual. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our worship. If everybody worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it wouldn't increase him in anything. And if everybody disbelieved, it would not decrease him in anything, subhanAllah. طيب. So, the Prophet says, الدُعَاء هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ That dua is in of itself worship. And then he recited the ayah in Surah Al-Ghafir, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ And Allah said, ادْعُونِي, call upon me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ And I will respond to you. What's the next ayah after that? Anybody know? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمْ Those who are arrogant. And now he says, يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي So now he equated a dua with ibadah, right? Those who are too arrogant to call upon me. Remember we said, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah hates it when a person doesn't ask. And sometimes people are like, I don't need to ask. Like, I'm fine, right? When they're off, when everything is good, right? They don't ask Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Abbas, get to know Allah in the good times as well. Ask Allah also in the good times, right? Right? And so this is actually a major sin. When a person, right, says, I don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes we do it the other way. It's almost like the person's like, I don't think Allah can do it. And this is from ignorance, right? That's also, that would also be like a major sin. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ Look at this. This is the Hadith Qudsi. It's a very beautiful Hadith. I just wanted to read it out. Of course, the Hadith Qudsi is a narration where the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So the Prophet ﷺ is narrating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And I'll read the Arabic. You just follow me. Follow the English if you don't understand Arabic. He says, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have made injustice haram, right? I've made injustice haram upon myself, right? And so don't do injustice upon each other. And then he says, يَا عِبَادِي كُلُّكُمْ ضَالْ إِلَّا مَنْ هَدَيْتُهُ فَاسْتَهْدُونِي أَهْدِكُمْ, right? And so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts mentioning all these things, okay? And this goes back to that, you know, we have nothing except what Allah has given us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying here that all of you are misguided, except those who I have guided. And so if you want guidance, who should you ask? Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Duha, أَلَمْ جَدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, right? We're talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided him to the straight path. And then he says, يَا عِبَادِ كُلُّكُمْ جَائِعْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطْعَمْتُهُ فَاسْتَطْعِمُونِي أُطْعِمْكُمْ, right? All of you are hungry except those who I have had, who I have fed, right? Sometimes you're like, oh, I'm the one who's bringing food to the table. لا حبيبي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing the food to the table. You are just the means, right? This is something that we need to kind of step back and think about, right? And so if you someone is in need, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he goes through all of them. Go to the, let's go to this part here. Ya ibadi, look what he says here in the middle. Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum. Right? If the first of you and the last of you, and all the ins and all the jinn, right? All the humans and all the jinn. Kanu ala atqa qalbi rajulin wahidin minkum ma zada dhalika fi mulki shay'a. Yani if everybody was righteous and everybody worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not increase anything. And then the opposite, yeah? If everybody was evil and everybody disbelieved, it would not decrease anything. Then look what he says here. This is the one that I highlighted. Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum. If the first of you and the last of you, the human and the jinn, wa jinnakum, qamu fi sa'idin wahid. Yani all of you were in one place. فسألوني فأعطيت كل إنسان مسألته. And you ask for everything that you want. I want you for a second to think of everything that you want. Money, cars, wealth, everything. And everybody from Adam's time until the end of time was to ask Allah, and Allah gave them everything. It would not decrease anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? He says, ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. Like a needle. If you put it in the ocean and you take it out, did you decrease anything from the ocean? Nothing. Subhanallah. So this part of the hadith is very beneficial in many ways. First thing is, when you ask Allah, don't be cheap. Yani many people, when they ask Allah, they're very cheap. Like sometimes we measure our iman, we're like, okay, because my iman is not that high, I'm going to ask him for, right? And Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif, may Allah have mercy on him, he used to say that, you know, who goes to a king and asks for a penny, right? Who goes to a king and asks for a penny? Yeah, and you go into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has all this wealth and power, and you go ask for a penny. Who does that? Subhanallah. And so one of the things we learn from this is that when you ask Allah, ask. Yeah, don't be shy, right? And that it doesn't decrease anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Tayyib. Jameel. Let's keep going. Some of the beautiful lines mentioned in the book about asking others, right? We mentioned about that a person should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not ask others. So he says here, لَا تَسْأَلَنَّ بُنَيَّ آدَمَ حَاجَةً وَسَلِ الَّذِي أَبْوَابَهُ لَا تُحْجَبُ. يعني don't ask the son of Adam anything. And ask the one whose doors, يعني there's no hijab, there's no nothing blocking the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? In some of the other religions, if you want something, if you want to make tawbah, you have to go to this person and you have to do istighfar to him. And yani there's a middleman. There's no middleman in our deen, alhamdulillah. Yeah? You don't have to go to another person. Allahu yaghdabu in tarakta su'alahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets angry when you don't ask him. وَبُنَيَّ آدَمَ حِينَ يُسْأَلُ يَغْضَبُ. Subhanallah. And the son of Adam, the person, when you go to him, he gets upset. Do people like him when you ask them? In general, they don't, right? When you ask people, in general, they get upset. Especially if you go again and again, right? Another port, he says, إِذَا عَرَضَتْ لِي فِي زَمَانِي حَاجَةً. يعني if I ever need of something, وَقَدْ أَشْكَلَتْ فِيهَا عَلَيَّ الْمَقَاصِدُ. And then, يعني it's difficult for me to get, right? وَقَفْتُ بِبَابِ اللَّهِ وَقْفَةَ ضَارِعٍ. Yeah, I stand at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility, right? وقلت إلهي إنني لك قاصد. يعني oh Allah, I have intended you. يعني I have intention to ask you, Allah. ولست تراني واقفا عند باب من يقول فتاه سيد اليوم راقد. It's a very beautiful line. He says, and you will not see me, right? You will not see me standing at the door, yeah, of somebody who has wealth or whatever or power, right? Right? And back in the day, what would they do? And maybe now in a different way, right? If someone had wealth or whatever and people come to ask, they would have like a kid or a doorkeeper. So if someone comes to ask, to tell them like he's sleeping, go away, whatever. So he's saying, you won't see me at the door of this human being, right? Who when I go to his door, yeah, and he sends his servant or whatever and tells him, you know, he's sleeping, go away. And people do that sometimes, right? You know, sometimes people come to ask for something, right? And maybe they're looking for you. So, you know, you tell your wife, open the door, tell him I'm not here. Or when someone calls, right? You say, oh, he's sleeping, but you're not sleeping, right? You shouldn't do that. They'll be lying. طيب. And then he says in the other line, he says, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ تَحَصَّنُوا مِنْ رَاغِبٍ بِمَنَازِلِ مَنْ دُونِهَا حُجَّابُ. Right? He's talking to those who are trying to push away people who ask. He says, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ تَحَصَّنُوا مِنْ رَاغِبٍ. Those people who try to push away those who ask, right? بِمَنَازِلٍ مِنْ دُونِهَا حُجَّابُ. Right? إِنْ حَالَ لِقَائِكُمْ بَوَّابُكُمْ فَاللَّهُ لَيْسَ لِبَابِهِ بَوَّابُ. Yeah? You might have يعني, guard keepers at your door, but Allah has no guard keepers. Yeah? There's nothing stopping you from asking Allah. There might be something stopping you from asking a human being, right? You know, shame, or they might turn you away. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's always yes. It's always going to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there, right? And subhanAllah, like, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally comes down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the famous hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down in the lowest part of the heavens, in the third part of the night. This is every day, right? And He asks people, right? The Prophet says, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا حِينَ يَبْقَى ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ. Right? ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْأَخِيرِ فَيَقُولُ مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبَ لَهُ. Who's calling and I will answer to him. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, while most people are sleeping, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. And this is like, the ulama say, this is from the times that dua will be accepted, right? Allah comes down and says, who's there to ask? Right, and so people do all these things, and they, يعني, to get what they want, and subhanAllah, Allah subhanAllah comes every night, right? Who's there to ask for forgiveness, and I'll forgive them, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming every night, asking people, and most people are asleep, subhanAllah. Most people are asleep. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Al Madinah, the first khutbah he gave, he said to the people, "Afshu salam," right? Spread salam. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ and يعني, connect with your family members. Yeah? وَصَلُّوا. What did he say? وَصَلُّوا. Yeah. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ. Right? Pray in the night while people are sleeping. تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ. Because that's the time where the person is the closest to his Lord. And that's the time where Allah comes and asks. Who's there to يعني, ask for forgiveness and I'll forgive them. خلاص. Done. Done deal. Right? SubhanAllah. So this is a great opportunity for a person every day. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَأَنِّي قَرِيبٌ. قَرِيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close. If you ask, يعني Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ to tell every one of us, yeah, if my slaves are asking about me, tell them, I'm close. Right? أنا قريب. Anytime, any place you are, right? إِنِّي قَرِيب أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَان. All you have to do is ask. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَان فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. طيب. Very interesting story here. It's mentioned in the book. So this person by the name of Asbagh ibn Zayd, he says that once me and my family had nothing to eat for 3 days. He says, my younger daughter came out to me and says, father, I'm hungry. So I came to the basin, yani to make the wudu. Yani. He says, I made wudu and then I went to the masjid and I prayed. Yani. I prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he made this dua in the middle. He says, oh Allah, grant me sustenance from you. Do not give anyone the opportunity to have a favor over me. And do not hold me responsible for it in the hereafter. Yani he doesn't want to have any favors for anybody. He wants something yani from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By your mercy, O most merciful of those who show mercy. So he's making this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I then returned home, and my eldest daughter stood to meet me and said, father, yani, My uncle came a while ago with this bag of dirhams, silver coins, a porter carrying flour, and another carrying different products from the market. يعني food and drinks and everything. So money, food and drink. يعني خلاص, that's it. And then this person, he says, pass greetings to my brother. So this person who brought the things, he told the daughter, pass greetings to my brother and tell him that if he ever, يعني my real brother. So that means it's her what? It's her uncle, right? So the man who brought everything, he told the girl, pass greetings to my brother, يعني your uncle, right? So he's her uncle. So he said, pass greetings to my brother and tell him that if he ever needs anything to supplicate with this prayer, and his need will be fulfilled, right? So his daughter is telling him this. And then he says, wallahi, I don't have a brother. He says, wallahi, I don't have a brother, walakin Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, subhanAllah. Like, it's not really his brother, and it could have been an angel or somebody else, but Allah ala kulli shayin qadir, subhanAllah. طيب, seeking help from Allah. So he says, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلْ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And when you need help, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where do we get this in the Quran? Like when you open the Quran, when's the first thing that pops that we get this message? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Barakallahu feek. This is the ayah that we read every salah, every rak'ah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Ibn Hajar, he said that this ayah, like it's the essence of every scripture that has been sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is in Surah Al-Fatiha. Everybody here has memorized it. But how many of us actually reflect upon this? Yeah? So, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, يعني you alone we worship Allah. طيب. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. How is this related to the hadith? The general meaning of the hadith. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ تَجِدُ أَمَامَكَ. Who can tell us? The connection is very, يعني very obvious. Yeah, it's very obvious, right? So, إِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. احفظ الله إياك نعبد, right? It's the same thing. When you say احفظ الله, we said احفظ الله, يعني be mindful of Allah's limits, follow His commandments, stay away from the prohibitions. That's exactly what إياك نعبد means, that you worship Allah سبحانه وتعالى only, right? And what's worship? To do what Allah tells you to do and stay away from what Allah سبحانه tells you to stay away from. So really, it's exactly the same thing. إياك نعبد. And once you worship Allah سبحانه وتعالى, that should lead you to what? What should that lead you to? That you seek help from Allah only. It's exactly what we get from this ayah that we read every time. But have we thought about it? So, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدْ إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that you only we should seek help. That we should only seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, two benefits he mentions, the author. The first benefit, right, in seeking aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, is that the servant does not have the strength to perform any actions of obedience without Allah's help. إِشْ يَعْنِي. يعني, oh Allah, I can't even complete this prayer without your help. يعني, I need your help to be able to pray. This is something that we need to internalize in our day-to-day ibadah, right? That I, yani, if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wouldn't have made it to this halaqah. If it's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wouldn't be praying. So, oh Allah, I'm worshiping you, but in order for me to worship you is what? I need your help. I need your help and your support. And then the other benefit is that there is none who can aid him in the betterment of his worldly and religious life except for Allah. So the second benefit we get here is that nobody can help you in your life except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? طيب, what is the difference between asking Allah and seeking Allah's help? Because he said, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلْ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. 1 minute, right? وَإِذَا فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. What's the difference? Is there a difference? Or are they the same? السؤال والاستعانة. Where's the Arab? Close meaning, right? But there's a difference. But otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have mentioned the same thing twice, right? So al-su'al is a bit more general. Al-su'al, asking, is a bit more general, right? Al-su'al is a bit more general. Al-isti'ana comes from the word i'ana, right? Al-i'ana is to help someone, right? And so al-i'ana is to help someone, but at the same time, you are putting the effort. What does that mean? مثلاً, they give the example. مثلا, you're driving and you got a flat tire. Anybody here had a flat tire before? Huh? Nobody? MashaAllah. All of you do your dua. طيب. So you have a flat tire and you've never done it before. Everybody had to go through this, right? And then you need help, right? So you ask someone to stop, right? Al-isti'ana is to ask for help. Al-isti'ana, when you add the word ist at the beginning of any verb, is to ask someone for help. But it's not just to, it's not like you're like, oh, can you help me change my tire? And then you sit in the back seat. Yeah, you scroll through your Facebook and the guy is just doing your tire, right? Al-isti'ana is to put the effort and the person is helping you. And that's exactly what isti'ana is. Al-isti'ana is like when you need help with something. And so, مثلاً, you are, مثلاً, you're going through an exam, right? And you've done your work. You've done your work and you go into the exam and you say, oh Allah, help me, you know, get 100% or something, or do well, right? Or to pass, right? This is al-isti'ana. When you've done your work and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, right? And then the famous poet, he says, إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عَوْنٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِلْفَتَى فَأَوَّلُ مَا يَجْنِي عَلَيْهِ اجْتِهَادُ. This is a very beautiful line. He says that if the young boy, يعني, or any person, if he has no help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the first reason for his failure is his hard work. Right? يعني, naturally, people say, يعني, if you work hard, you'll succeed. But the poet here wants to make it very clear that you can work as hard as you want, but if you have no aun, no help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all that hard work will be the first reason why you fail. يعني, as you can work as hard as you want, but if you don't have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will fail. Then you will fail. SubhanAllah, time flies. Let me just finish with this. So we have some examples. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Mu'ad, oh Mu'ad, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said to him, after every salah, yeah, after every salah, to say what? Most of us here know this dua. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Right? What do you say? What does that mean? Allahumma inni ala dhikrika. What does that mean? Oh Allah, help me remember you. Like the Prophet is teaching Mu'ad that even to remember Allah, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika. What else? Oh Allah, help me to be grateful to you. عني على شكرك. يعني, don't just think that you can be grateful like that. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. And to do the best of deeds. So that also needs al-i'ana, right? If you remember the story of Musa alayhi salam, when Musa went to Fir'aun, right? And then he showed him the miracles. And then what did the right hand man of Fir'aun, right? Or the powerful elites of the people of Fir'aun. They said to Fir'aun, are you going to leave Musa and his people to cause corruption? وقال الملأ من قوم فرعون أتذر موسى وقومه ليفسدوا في الأرض ويذرك وآلهتك. Are you going to leave Musa and Fir'aun, Musa and Harun, to spread fasad in the earth, يعني spread the da'wah in the earth? And then Fir'aun says, قال سنقتل أبناءهم ونستحيي نساءهم وإنا فوقهم قاهرون. Indeed, we're going to go back to killing their young children, and we're going to imprison their women, and we will overpower them. يعني, he's going to come back even harder than before. Subhanallah. And so Musa said to his people, what? قال موسى لقومه استعينوا بالله واصبروا. Yeah? استعينوا بالله واصبروا. Seek aid in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have patience. إن الأرض لله. Even though the situation is bad, and Fir'aun is going to come with more punishments, remember that the earth belongs to who? To Allah. إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And the final victory is for who? Is for the righteous. And then what happened after? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did what? So when they asked for help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they were patient, what happened after? What happened in the story of Musa and Fir'aun? فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ وَالْجَرَادَ وَالْقُمَّلَ وَالضَّفَادِعَ وَالدَّمْ آيَاتٍ مُبَيِّنَاتٍ. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all the punishments to Fir'aun, to the point that Fir'aun and his people said what? They went to Musa, they said, oh Musa, tell your Lord to stop the punishments. All the punishments, the blood in the water, the locusts, so many things happened. Lice. And so they said, قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى ادْعُ لَنَا رَبَّكَ بِمَا عَهِدَ عِنْدَكَ لَإِنْ كَشَفْتَ عَنَّا الرِّجْزَ. Right? They asked Musa to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point here is that even though the odds might be stacked against you, what's the thing you should do? استعينوا بالله واصبروا. And there's many stories like that. Yaqub alayhi salam, what did he tell his children when Yusuf and Binyamin were lost? He said, صبرٌ جميل والله المستعان. يعني Allah is the one that you go seek help from. Yeah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة. Subhanallah, we're planning to go through Qadr. This is exactly where. So inshallah, we'll start the topic of القضاء والقدر, because this is the last part of the hadith, or almost the second last part, where the Prophet told Ibn Abbas, right, that if the whole ummah was to gather to harm you, right, they will not be able to harm you except that harm that Allah has written for you, right? And if they were all gathered, everybody got together to give you extra benefit, then they will not give you more than what Allah has given for you. And رُفِعَتْ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجُفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, that the pens have been lifted. خلاص, يعني, this is something that's preordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the topic of Al-Qadr is one of those, I guess, topics that confuses a lot of people. I remember once we were attending this seminar on the 40 Hadith Nawawi, and this is one of the hadith that was mentioned, and he literally spent like 4 or 5 hours just on this hadith, or just on this topic of this hadith, Al-Qadr. Because people have so many questions about Al-Qadr. يعني, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preordained everything, what's the point of us of doing actions? What's the point of dua, right? So all these questions come up. Bi-idhnillah, inshallah, we will cover that next week. Barakallahu fikum for attentive listening. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.